John chapter 16. That's where we're going to be this morning. John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Verse 5 through 15. Verse 5 through 15. And let's all pray if we can, if we will. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to share the good news and the gospel of Jesus Christ with the world. Lord, we have the opportunity this morning to share the word of God with the world. And Lord, we know that we've all gathered in here this morning to hear your word. We thank you. Thank you for everyone here. Lord, thank you more than anything, Lord, for the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And Lord, we just thank you for these children. I just join with everyone else as we pray for Vacation Bible School. Lord, if we can just touch one child, if we can plant one seed, and it's all worth it. And I ask you to help me with a message this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, John chapter 16, verse 5 through 15. I'm in the New King James Version. And as you can see, for some of you, you know, the theme is kind of a play on Star Wars. And so it's Scar Force. I got that right? Scar Force. As Star Wars would say, the Force is be with you. We're saying the truth be with you. And this morning, I thought it would be, I hate to use the word cool. I thought it would be kind of cool to kind of play on that also with the message, understanding that the true force is God Almighty, right? The true force, the hidden force, is the Holy Spirit of God. And so this morning, we're going to take a look at the basics of the Holy Spirit. So let's read together. Verse 5, "But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment." Verse 9, "Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you'll see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged." Verse 12, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you." Everybody said amen?
Amen.
Amen. On the night of the crucifixion, Jesus tells his disciples that he's going to go away. Now, they've been hanging out with him for a while. They put everything and sold everything and gave everything over to Christ and his ministry. And they started thinking, you know, what are we going to do? What are we going to do now that you're going to leave us and go away? And so Jesus saw this worry. He saw this fear on their faces. And Jesus said, "Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. Worry. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I'm going away." Now this is what Jesus says in verse 7 I just read. He said, "Nevertheless," in other words, I know this might be a little painful for you, but you know, here we go. We're gonna do it anyway. This is what I'm gonna do. Even though you're not going to like it right now, this is what I'm going to do. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, everybody say helper. The helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. Now, let's take just a minute and look at this word helper. In the Greek, this word helper means counselor or comforter. And the Greek is parakletos. Everybody say parakletos. Parakletos. Now, for some of you who don't know, I'm a counselor. My full-time job is I'm a counselor, and I work in a drug and alcohol treatment program. And we have some interns that come in, and they do an internship with us. One of them's name is AJ, nice young man. And so I was studying a little bit at work. I shouldn't have been, but I was. Boy, like y'all never done stuff like that. So I walked in, I said, AJ, I said, man, you're doing a great job as an intern. You're doing a great job. I said, one day you're going to be a really good pelicatos. He was like, what? What are you talking about? He looked up at that guy from Mars. I said, yeah, you're going to be a really good pelicatos. And I just walked out of the office. Here he comes right behind me. What does that mean? Pelicatos. I was just messing with him, but I said, it means counselor. I said, you're going to make a mighty fine counselor one day because he has that gift that God's given him. And that word pelicatos, not trying to impress you, I just learned the crazy word about a week ago. So, you know, but this is what it means. It means it refers to someone called to one side for giving aid and comforting them and helping them. It's kind of, I looked up a little bit more, it's kind of where you get the word paramedic from, you know, and those words of people that are there to give help and aid and comfort. And so when Jesus was on earth, you know, he was still in his earth suit, right? When Jesus was walking around on earth, he could really only be at one place at one time. However, he knew that what he meant when he talked about the Holy Spirit, him sending the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit would be able to live inside of each one of us. So this morning, I want us to take a look at a couple things. Getting to know the Holy Spirit. It's basically two things. Who is the Holy Spirit? And what does the Holy Spirit do? For some of you, this will be basics, but just hang with me. First, who is the Holy Spirit? In the Greek, the Holy Spirit means pneuma. Pneuma, which is like breath or wind. And the King James, it goes into talking about spirit or ghost in the King James. See, the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. And Jesus talked about this many times in John 14, John 15, John 16. And this does not mean the Holy Spirit has a body, but rather he has characteristics of a person. Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit being He. Unlike our... I'm just going to say it. Unlike our Episcopal brothers now, anybody see the news on that? They're trying to change some of their doctrinal bylaws and some of their doctrinal books and prayer books to make God the Father is transgender. In other words... Is that right? Transgender. In other words, there's no he or she. It's just, you know. So, I remember a couple weeks ago I talked about, you know, spirit of the Antichrist, and it's even affecting the church. So we just need to be careful. But Jesus repeatedly talks about the Holy Spirit as being he. The Holy Spirit is not an it or some impersonal force. Okay, the Holy Spirit is God. He's the third person of the Trinity. And we all remember the book of Acts when Ananias, you know, sold some real estate, some property, and brought the proceeds to the church. Remember that? Pretty much lied about it. Well, he did lie about it. Lied about the sum that he brought there. And Peter asked Ananias, he said, says, why have you lied to the Holy Spirit? And Ananias even goes on and says, how could you come up with this crazy scheme in your heart? What's going on with you, man? I could hear Peter, you know, talking in just regular man talk, you know. I do that occasionally. But here's what Peter said. Peter says, man, you hadn't just lied to man. You have lied to God Almighty. We know what happened to them cats, right? Peter associated lying to the Holy Spirit with lying to God. And see, this is another clear indication of how the Holy Spirit is God. Amen? So we're talking about the force in Vacation Bible School. This force. So John chapter 14, verse 16. Let's look at that real quick. Jesus says, and I will pray the Father and He. The Father and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. So Jesus was looking forward to the Father giving them another helper. Now, who was the first counselor? Jesus. He was the disciples' counselor for 3 years, right? Now, He is going away. He is going to send another. The key to this is to send another. If you look up that Greek, when it says send another, it means another of the same sort. The same sort. In other words, the second comforter. Now, don't get me wrong on this. Just listen closely to what I'm saying. The second comforter will in some way be better than the first. Because He will not be living among them, but He will be living in them. Everybody get that? Jesus also refers to the coming counselor as the Holy Spirit. And the word holy is one of the most used words in the Bible when it describes God. Holy God, Holy Father, Holy Jesus, Holy Spirit. All right, so let's move into part two. This is where I wanted to get. Who is the Holy Spirit? He's God, third person Trinity. The second thing is, what does the Holy Spirit do? We know the Holy Spirit does many things that we don't even know about and can't even record. But there's seven I'd like to bring to your attention this morning. So if you're taking notes, here's the first one. Since we're talking about the force, Vacation Bible School, what does the Holy Spirit do? Number one, the Holy Spirit draws us. The Holy Spirit draws us, if you're taking notes. The Holy Spirit causes us to realize that we are sinners in need of a Savior. He draws a man into salvation. The Holy Spirit of God is working and drawing us and lovingly drawing us to the cross. John 16:8 says, and when He has come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. Now remember, this is one of the things, the Holy Spirit is responsible for conviction of sin. Now the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin, and then therefore we feel guilty. Because if you have a conviction, then you've been found guilty. And that's the whole reason for salvation, is that we can have freedom from this guilty sentence and the whole thing of propitiation that Paul talks about in Romans. Thank God for that. But in our daily lives as Christians, the Holy Spirit convicts us and we feel guilty because we're doing this or this or thinking this or this way. So therefore, hopefully this is the way it's supposed to work if we're following the Lord. Ready? Then we feel guilty and we confess this sin and they will repent of it. Right? So thank God for the Holy Spirit. As Christians all through our life, God is going to continually show us, you know, areas that we need to work on, areas that we need to repent of, that And all this helps us become closer and closer to the Lord, become more and more like Christ. We'll never be perfect until we get to heaven. But on earth, the Holy Spirit draws us. Number two. Everybody ready still? Number two, taking notes. The Holy Spirit indwells us. He indwells us. We all know this. When we become Christians, born again, the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. Jesus tells his disciples the world cannot accept the Holy Spirit. They neither see him or they know him or understand him. See, the Holy Spirit wasn't just for the disciples. He takes up residence in us and seals us until that day. He, the Holy Spirit, God, altogether, says he would never leave us and he would never forsake us. Y'all know I like that verse. Forsake means to disown. God said he'd never disown us. We're adopted into the family of God. In this adoption process, the Holy Spirit comes and baptizes us into the family of God. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? This is what's called the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and it applies to every true born-again follower of Christ. One more verse for this area. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. But you, listen closely, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now he goes on to say, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, you are not his. So the Holy Spirit is very important. It's everything in regards to our salvation, you know. Number three. If you're taking notes. Everybody okay? Number three. We'll get through the seven, I promise. I'm not going to worry about time, right? You new guys, I'm not one of those preachers, you know, but we're hanging in there. Number three, the Holy Spirit empowers us. So remember, this is what the Holy Spirit's doing. This force that we're talking about at Vacation Bible School. The Holy Spirit empowers us. Now listen to this. I just got to read this. I wrote down. It says, to understand this, we need to realize God the Father is the source of all things. God the Son is the channel of all things. And God the Holy Spirit is the agent of change of all things. For example, I mentioned in Sunday school this morning, for example, God the Father initiates our plans of salvation, and God the Son obediently provided the way. John 6:38, Jesus says, for I come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of the one who sent me. Think about it this way, guys. God the Father plans our salvation. God the Son provided the way. And the Holy Spirit is the power behind it all. Now, I got to get country on you a little bit. Is that all right? Here's kind of look at it. It might be kind of weird, so you don't throw something at me. But it's kind of like, think about this. You know, God just created this nice truck right in the middle of this big old forest, big trees. Boom! He created the trees, the forest, and this nice truck. Boom! I was like, Dallas, you can have that truck. I was like, sweet, thank you, Lord. I go out there and get the truck, crank it up, and realize, man, I'm surrounded by big old giant trees. I can't even move. I can't get out of here, nothing. You know, back the story up. The gift to me, really, is that God created the truck and the trees and the forest. Jesus came down and cleared out a path. Laid down his life and cleared out a path of those trees to get to that promised land over there. Wow. And the Holy Spirit is the gas in the truck. I don't know much about engines, but I've heard that gas is electrical combustion and it blows up inside there. Is that right, you mechanic guys? Boom, an explosion. So I can get in that truck now, and Jesus provided the path, and the Holy Spirit said, guys, boom, and I'm gone. It's a crazy way to look at it, isn't it? It makes sense to me. Another example is the Holy Spirit conceived Jesus in Mary's womb. What a miracle. And the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus at his baptism to empower him to do his Father's will. Because we all know Jesus, you know, is like, not my will, but your will be done. He came to do his Father's will. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came to indwell Christians, empower them to fulfill God's purpose in their life, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's still at work today, giving us power for the purpose that God's called us to do. Some of you guys in Vacation Bible School this week is going to need some power, aren't you? Around Wednesday, Thursday, you're going to need some Holy Ghost power. Amen. Number four, if you're taking notes, the Holy Spirit helps us. The Holy Spirit helps us. John 14:26. It says, but the Helper, here we are again, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. The guys, like we talked about before, this Helper is the Counselor, which means one called alongside to console, to help, to comfort, to aid. You see, the Bible doesn't teach that once you become a Christian, everything's just going to be great. Most of you have experienced life enough to know, you know, bad things happen to good people, and good things happen to bad people. It rains on the just and the unjust alike. Like Derry was talking about in Sunday school this morning. However, everybody say however. However, God does promise us a comforter and a counselor and an aid when we have difficult times in our life. Sometimes we forget about him. Yes, you can go to God in prayer and Bible study and find comfort, but sometimes we find comfort in others reaching out to us. That's why we have to watch out and be careful and be mindful for each other's needs. God meets our needs through others most of the time. No, right? No, God's not going to cause a stork, a little bird to fly over and drop down a sack of groceries. He could. Doesn't work like that, really, does it? Need to help each other. Number five. The Holy Spirit guides us. He gives us guidance. One of the ways the Holy Spirit counsels and guides us is through giving us the ability to understand the Bible, to understand the Scripture as we study and read it. He causes the Scripture to become rhema, right? That old word, it means alive, where the Scripture jumps out at you and ministers to your heart. It ministers to your soul. So the Holy Spirit, see, an unsaved, unbeliever can read the Bible and it may make intellectual sense to them, maybe. But as a Christian, the Holy Spirit guides us. The Holy Spirit is there to interpret that Scripture. Has anybody ever been reading the Bible and just all of a sudden just jumped out at you and you're like, wow, man, that speaks to me right there, boy. That speaks to my situation. That's the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, but when he didn't say she, did he? Sorry, ladies. I'm not being crazy. Jesus said, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. Let's look at John 17:17. It's a little small scripture. It says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So the Holy Spirit helps us understand the truth as we read it, teach it, and preach it. It helps us. It encourages us. It lifts us up. Number six. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us. He intercedes for us. Okay, Romans chapter 8, verse 27 says, "Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." This means when we are overcome by the problems of the world and the stress and the frustration, and sometimes we don't even know what to pray for, we don't even know how to pray, find your place along with the Lord and allow the Holy Spirit to intercede. He knows exactly what you need. He knows exactly what your family member needs. Your children, your grandchildren, your husband, wives, your neighbor, your friend, your coworker. Coworkers pray for you and say, "Man, would you pray for me?" And you're like, "Yes." And you think, "Oh, man, I don't even know what to pray." You just go and be quiet. Be still before the Lord. Just praise the Lord and thank Him. And be quiet sometimes, right? God says, "Be still and know that I'm God." Do you really think about that verse? Be still and know. I'm God Almighty. I know what you need. I know what your children need. Trust me. Lift up my name. Glorify me. So the Holy Spirit, right? He's there to glorify and lift up the name of Jesus. The Holy Spirit knows exactly what we need. And He knows exactly what the Father's will is in our life. Right? Amen. Number seven, last one. Number seven. The Holy Spirit fills us. He fills us. We're commanded to be filled with the Spirit of God. Ephesians 5:18 says this: "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." That word translated filled, listen closely, listen to this. That word fill means to fill up to full. That's what it means. Full. No more room for anything else. No room for doubt. No room for worry. No room for fear. No room for anxiety. No room for any of that. I'm full of the Holy Spirit. And see, this word is written in present tense. Present tense. Which means it's happening continually. It's happening daily. So daily. Hour. Hour by hour sometimes, right? Morning by morning. Day by day. Be full of the Holy Spirit. You see, we need this, guys. We need this infilling of the Holy Spirit. Because you know why? Because you get right down to it, we're all just a bunch of busted, me, you, busted, broken, and leaky vessels. Aren't we? If you're sitting here thinking you got it all together, I don't, you don't either. That's just the truth. We're broken vessels, and we leak. And we get frustrated. I yelled at Lynn this morning because of them cans. I'm sorry, honey. I did. I got the cans out of the Honda and put the cans in the Toyota and they were in the way. I was, ah! I even called them stupid cans. Sorry. I'm just being truthful, right? But I know those cans are going to help children find Jesus, maybe. And at Penfield, my guys over there, they've been collecting cans for a month. Here on the day coming in here, I disrespect the cans. Need my can kicked, don't I? Sorry. We're just leaky, broken vessels, aren't we? All of us, you know. How many of you guys fuss sometimes coming to church? No, don't raise your hand. Lynn's full of so much grace and mercy. She puts up with me. Thank you, Jesus. Where was I? Okay. On Wednesday night, we've been in Ephesians, right? Ephesians, and I'm closing up now. You know, give me a couple more minutes. In Ephesians chapter 4, we've been learning on Wednesday night in Bible study. So if you want to start coming to Bible study on Wednesday night, we have this little workbook, and we're going through Ephesians. It's really, really awesome. I like it. And it just takes us on a track right through Ephesians. And so Ephesians 4:32, we learned this a couple weeks ago. Ephesians 4:32, it says, "And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God forgives you." See, this scripture right here describes what our behavior should look like when we're filled with the Spirit. See, if we're walking in the Spirit, you know, in the nine fruits, right? If we're walking in the Spirit and we're filled with the Spirit, then immediately, when the Holy Spirit convicts us of something, immediately we may make it right, don't we? We need to confess and repent and make it right with God and with our family. When, you know, sometimes you raise your voice at your children, you don't mean to, you've got a stressed out day, the Holy Spirit convicts you, that's wrong, you shouldn't do that. You need to immediately make that right, make amends and make that right. That's walking in the Spirit. So, a little quick review. Who is the Holy Spirit? It's God Almighty. It's God Almighty. He is God Almighty. What does the Holy Spirit do? He draws us. He indwells us. He empowers us. He helps us. He guides us. And He intercedes us. He intercedes for us. And He fills us. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I just pray for the ones that have heard this word and this message, and I pray they'll be encouraged and they'll begin to lean on the Holy Spirit in their daily lives. Father, there's one here this morning that's never met the Holy Spirit. You've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I pray that when we do this song of invitation that you'll come down to the altar, or you can sit right there in your seat and ask Christ to come into your heart and forgive you. I'd love to talk to you about it, though, but if you feel led, come down to the altar and just pray with me, or we can stand here and talk about it. That would be awesome. Maybe there's someone here who'd like to rededicate their life or get baptized. Or maybe someone here would like to join our church and our fellowship. So during the song of invitation, I just ask that you'll be obedient to the Holy Spirit as He draws you. In Jesus' name, amen.